The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. It's 11 after 7, 64 degrees. I was reading a blogger. One of my favorite financial bloggers is Mike Shedlock. It's called Mishtalk, mishtalk.com, if you ever wanted to look into that. And he had a piece yesterday which got me thinking. And it had to do with now they're bringing back zero down mortgages. And, you know, you start thinking like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. You remember 2008. It's like the Prince song instead of 1999. It's like we're going to party like it's 2-0-0 and an 8, you know, in which mortgages end up going nuts and then popping. I don't know. Maybe my concern is misplaced there, but they are certainly trying everything they can to throw more money at the problem, supposedly. And now this time it'll be zero down mortgages, in which they'll just loan you the down payment too. It's quite interesting. What could go wrong with such an amazing plan, right? You think back to 2008? Yeah, I could think of just a few things. And so you start thinking about ways to hedge, ways to preserve wealth at a time in which, yeah, there could be a little bit of popping of things. Who never knows? But physical gold and silver have performed a lot of this for a long, long time. Physical gold and silver have gone up and down. But boy, the one thing I will say about many things is that it's never gone down to nothing. It's always been worth something. It's been a great preserver of wealth for thousands of years. Talk to your financial advisor and then just traipse on over to J. Austin & Company Gold and Silver Buyers, Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. And at 6th and G, by appointment, you call 482-3715. But there is something about the security of physical tangible over the paper promises. And I'm not saying go all in. I would never be one of those type of people all in on gold. But to have none is not a good plan either. Something that you possess in your possession, whether you put it in the safety deposit box, in a safe, or whatever it is. I know a lot of people are trying to get you to go into gold-backed IRAs. I still look at that as something that eventually the federal government will end up seizing those in order to save the system. But I could be wrong about that. But what I'm not wrong about, or what I am correct about, is that physical gold and silver best from J. Austin. J. Austin. JAustinBrokers.com, GrantsPassCoins.com, also on the web, FortuneReserve.com. Get your physical gold and silver drop by today.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I mean, it's really just unbelievable how corrupt. And the judge, you know, we have two experts they wanted to bring on. One is about the law in a court of law, about the very specific law and the novel legal theory that the prosecution is bringing in this case. And they don't even want to hear from the expert. I mean, why is that? Because the judge now understands that this has been an unmitigated disaster for Alvin Bragg and the prosecution, and they're likely to lose. So the only chance they have is to get an assist from the judge, the Biden donor, conflicted judge that should have recused himself. So that's where we now find ourselves.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey guys, breaking news. Did you hear that gold hit an all-time high? And based on market analysis, it could soar even higher. With inflation increasing, global tensions escalating, and central banks buying gold at record levels, the gold boom could skyrocket to over $7,000 an ounce. In fact, experts claim that the gold investing madness is just getting started. And that's why we partnered with the highest-rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who have diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Join the tens of thousands of people who have already joined the gold rush and diversified their savings with gold and silver. Call 855-815-GOLD now. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D now.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
16 after 7, Mark Seligman, Democrat Party candidate for House District 3 state legislature. Mark, you won an election last week, apparently.
Yeah, I finally won. That's true. And may the gods up in heaven, Sandy Castanelli and Dale Matthews, two of my really good friends who have departed, they'd be real happy for me.
Boy, I have to tell you, I haven't heard those names mentioned for quite some time, but thank you for bringing them up.
Well, the interesting thing about them is one's a Republican and one was a Democrat, and they were friends, and, you know, we agreed on most things. So my campaign is going to be a very interesting one because I am a rare Democrat. The Democrats locally in Josephine County don't believe locally in what I believe in. Oh, well, nationally, we believe in it. You know, things like the three ballot measures that got defeated, the charter amendment, Democrats wanted it.
Sure they did.
I didn't. Animal shelter, Democrats wanted it. I didn't. And the third one, what was that one? Not remembering that third one. But the third one also went down in flames. Oh, the charter amendment was one. Animal shelter was the second. And Three Rivers School District. Now
I know that you know, we can have conversation about that. I actually agreed with Richard Emmons. I don't know if you ever talked with him or ever about that. But I think he ended up having the most sensible take on that. On the Three Rivers, it's not that you're not about supporting the school, but when you have lost about a third of your enrollment over the last few years, and yet you're still trying to maintain all the same amount of buildings, and you haven't consolidated, it's kind of hard to ask for more money in those days. Would you agree?
Well, my take on it is, okay, I'll buy that. My take on it is the staggering poverty in Josephine County. You invest money into young people, which I'm all for. Unfortunately, when they graduate high school or they go on to college locally, the best move they can make is to leave. So this investment does not ever happen. They come back when they're 65 years old. Unless Josephine County wants to upgrade its economy, you know, I mean, and that's what this campaign is all about. Yes, you know, I feel Donald Trump has committed crimes and he should go to jail. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make a difference with the local Democratic Party. They will not endorse me because of my position on local issues. It doesn't make a difference what I feel on national issues. So, you know.
Okay, now you do understand that getting elected as a Democrat in Josephine County is a high lift. Do you understand that? You have no doubt.
The Democrat has not won a presidential election in Josephine County since 1944. And I think, I'd like to know the research on this. The last time a state representative was Democrat, I believe, was Deb Potts in the 1950s. And the reason he won, he was a socialist. And he thought the Democratic Party was socialist enough that he'd run as Democrat. So I'm not sure on that. The reason the Democrats don't win local matters is because they're out of touch with what the local people want locally.
Okay, well then, what do you think local people want, and why would you be a better choice, you think, for House District 3 in the state legislature? Because you would be, if you were to win, you'd be part of the majority party, certainly. I'm sure that, you know, they would like another D in the state legislature. But what would make you different or better?
Well, unlike the local Democrat, and by the way, when I say Democratic Party, I mean the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. I don't mean the rank and file, okay, because a lot of them voted for me. But the rank and file would rather not vote for anybody and get Yunker in office, you know, in a backwards kind of way. The local people don't want increased taxation. The local people don't want increased regulation. The local people have you know, I'm a landscaper. I got two people that work for me part-time. They're not homeless. They're not slackers. These people struggle for gas money. These people struggle to pay their cell phone bill. There's not one candidate, not one commissioner, not one state representative in Josephine County that understands that. They all have, they can pay the taxes, they can pay their bills, they have good jobs, they have good futures that are not typical of Josephine County. And what we need now, these things that come up on the ballot, you know, law enforcement, taxing district, fire district, I'm not against any of that. But what I don't feel the local people who can barely get by should have to pay for it. So how would you pay for it? I think the state should pay for it. The state should pay. If Dave Daniels needs more police, the state should pay for it. After all, didn't the state pay for eradication of marijuana? Jeff Gold and Lily Morgan did that. So then the argument as the devil's advocate is, well, then there's going to be strings attached. Yes. And what will be the strings attached to local residents? Well, I believe it would come in the form of state income tax increases. And who pays?
But you see, there it is. If you don't mind me interjecting here, Mark, what you had just mentioned, though, is that you're saying that the state should pay for it.
Absolutely.
Okay, you're saying, but the state doesn't have any money that it doesn't take from us first, and so then you said the string attached is that we'll increase the income tax in order to do that. So isn't that kind of the backdoor way of doing it instead of increasing property taxes, which is the way we did it traditionally? Right?
And then everybody, but the only people that pay are the people that have the money to pay, meaning those that have much higher. The average income in Josephine County, I think, is about $30,000-$35,000.
That's about
the
right.
Poverty line.
Yeah, that's about right.
So above that, they will pay in the form of state income tax. And that takes a page out of Bernie Sanders' books. Tax the rich, don't tax the poor. Things like tax.
Mark, God love you. But, you know, you talked about taxing the rich, and yeah, I make more than $30,000 or $35,000, but I'm not exactly a rich guy, so I'm the rich guy because I make more than thirty-five.
You don't make $100,000.
I guess what is rich? Because you said you don't want to tax the poor at $30,000-$35,000, but everybody knows that the vast bulk of where the money is in the middle class. You could probably take 100% of the rich, and you wouldn't have enough to fund your fever dream.
Let's put it like this. This is up to the state legislature to decide anyway. But for me, I'm not going to vote for any tax increases on a state level. In fact, I would have a proposal. If you make under X amount, you are exempt from property taxes throughout the entire state. That's what I would prefer. I don't want to give government more money to increase this bureaucracy.
But on the other hand, then you want to increase income taxes to increase the bureaucracy, Mark.
Listen, if the state wants to do it, that's the only way I would let them do it. I'm not going to be up forefront, increase taxes on the rich. Mm-hmm. But if the state comes up with, if I'm going to make a suggestion, that's how. The bottom line is we can't tax the poor. We can't tax the middle class anymore. That's how the state wants to go about getting the money is up to them. That would probably be the way. I'm not saying I'm going to be up there forefront saying do it this way, but we can't allow seniors to lose their homes due to foreclosure because Josephine County needs more money. We can't allow that. And there's got to be we can't allow people not to have gas money because somebody says, well, now I'm raising your rent. That's the bottom line. That comes first.
What do you see then as a Mark Seligman economic policy you would like to see as far as economic policy for Southwest Oregon, since you'd be representing, you know, the Grants Pass and Joe County area if you were to win this?
Well, you know, government always wants to increase taxes, but doesn't want to increase income.
No, I'm talking about the income. How would you go about increasing the economic activity, or what do you think I know you're not an economic development guy, but, you know, you're not like a so ready or whatever it is. But I'm just saying, though, if you had your way, I know in the past you were pushing the marijuana and the hemp, you know, all those sort of things. And It was kind of a boom or bust. Would you agree on that? I mean, where do we go from here, you think, as far as...
Well, the way we must find ways to increase business income and individual income, not government income. Yes, in the past, cannabis was the golden lining,
mm-hmm.
but we made sure, Democrats and Republicans made sure that they'd run that industry out. There were bad actors, and there were good actors, and because of the bad actors, they ran it out. I don't know any place in the entire United States that wants to denigrate its number one product. We did that. Cannabis growers are not coming back, even if it's nationwide legal. We ruined it. So as far as my economic plan,
mm-hmm. yeah. If you had your magic wand, what do you think would be? I know in Southwest Oregon, in Jackson County, they seem to pin everything on the on tourism dollars. It seems to be, you know, throw up a bunch of projects and have the taxpayers pay for it, then we'll fill the motels with it. What would you think we ought to be doing?
I'm sorry to say this. This is an area that simply doesn't have the appeal. So we have to hope the people that remain here aren't stressed out economically.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe something will come up in the future that looks like, the good thing was broadband. Broadband in every home gives people the opportunity to work somewhere else and bring money in. Well, we're doing that. We're getting on that now.
You know, that's actually an interesting take, and that is something where Southern Oregon could promote itself better. It's a great place to live, but you know, if you're in other words, if you're a high tech refugee, so to speak, but and you don't have to live in the city, in the bigger cities, then you can come live in our area. Okay, all right,
right.
I get
and you
that.
Can spend your money and mm-hmm. invest your money. And maybe that'll help. You know, my opponent, that's the other reason I'm running. If you look at 24,000 registered Republicans, and Younger got 6,000 votes approximately, there is a great disenchantment in the Republican Party with him. And those are the kind of people, the moderate, not the MAGA Republicans, the moderate Republicans and the independents, I think that I'm their guy. And hopefully the Democrats can swallow their pride when it comes to me not agreeing with them in local politics. I talked to a PCP of the Democratic Party. He goes, I'm voting for Biden. I don't like what he's doing in Gaza, but I'm voting for him. He goes, the same thing holds true for you. I don't agree with everything you're saying, but I don't want the other guy because the other guy voted no on everything.
What would you do about the gender-affirming care here? Because that's been a big bone of contention in Southwest Oregon. You know, the push in which we're going to tell every young boy who thinks he's pretty should immediately go through gender-affirming care at OHSU, and the taxpayers should be paying it, and the schools should be honoring it. What would you do about that?
More major things to be concerned with.
Really?
Than that.
You don't think that's a big deal?
No, I don't think it's a big deal.
Oh.
I think there are a lot bigger deals, like the poverty of Josephine County and people being bitter and frustrated because they can't make enough money and the dysfunctionality of it and the fact that our kids leave home. Those are issues. But back to my opponent for a second.
Okay.
The homeless issue. Mr. Younger is a city councilor, and people deserve their parks back. He's not doing anything. Mr. Younger is right there not doing anything about building a low-barrier shelter. He's not doing a damn thing. So if that's the way Younger's terms are going to be, I'm not going to do anything. Is that what you want? You want people like him in office?
To be fair about this, though, isn't it wiser to wait until we find out how the Supreme Court deals on this to find out if you are required by law to build a low-barrier shelter? Because there is a shelter in Grants Pass available right now, but for some reason the Democrats get really tied up in knots over the fact that it's a faith-based organization, and so I guess they're concerned about too much Jesus infecting homeless people. I guess.
Well, it's a lot more than just that. There are people that work I used to hire that came from there, and they were part-time workers. That wasn't good enough for them. They have, it's a lot more than just being Jesus-based.
Uh-huh.
And the bottom line is, in all other cities on the West Coast, just about all of them, there are shelters. So if there's 400 homeless people and there's 300 beds available, the police have the opportunity to say, listen, you can go there. We're going to cite you one time. And if you don't go there, then we're going to trespass you. The Grants Pass wants it both ways. If Yunker has his way, what will happen is there won't be a shelter. They're going to the Supreme Court.
But there is a shelter right now. It's just that there's a shelter that goes begging. You know, I mean, the Gospel Rescue Mission has plenty of beds.
Well, it's not a low barrier shelter.
In other words, you have to build a drug den to house the homeless.
No, you shouldn't allow drugs in a shelter.
But that's the whole definition of a low barrier shelter, though.
Why should Grants Pass be any different than any other city on the West Coast? They all have shelters. They don't have this problem. If you want your parks back, you build a damn shelter. Otherwise, don't complain.
Okay, all right. So now, how would you affect this, though, as a state legislator if you were to win this seat? Because, I mean, you're complaining about his city councilor thing. We're talking about the state legislature is what you're running for.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I would mandate to the city of Grants Pass, you either build a shelter or we're going to give you less funding for something. City itself. If you got to play hardball, you got to play hardball. Grants Pass, you know, years ago, Grants Pass had a you can census in Riverside Park. All the homeless people showed up. There were going to be a census. And one woman didn't park her car correctly, so the police said, you better park your car right. Then she did, and they said, okay, let's see your license, register. She didn't have any of that. You know what they did?
What?
They confiscated all her belongings, put it in the pouring rain, and all the homeless people fled. So Grants Pass has a long history of criminalizing homeless, treating them poorly, and the court ruled against them. It's your public. You have a public right to sleep in a public. I mean, you have the constitutional right to sleep in a public place.
Yeah, I've tried to find that constitutional right, but that is certainly something that the courts have ruled. But all right, so Mark, okay, I'm almost out of time here right now on the segment. But go ahead and, like I said, something tells me these are going to be interesting conversations in the lead up to the fall election. Okay, but I appreciate you coming on and talking about it. Are you going to get a Facebook page up there and people can find out?
Well, there's various groups, Southern Oregon Community Awareness, Josephine County Neighborhood Chat. I'm on that often. If you want to follow me, you follow me through there. But I am a rare Democrat. The Democrats don't like me, and the MAGA Republicans don't like me. So I'm the moderate.
Okay.
That's what it comes down to.
That's an interesting definition of moderation. But, Mark, I appreciate you coming on, being a good sport.
Thank you very much.
Mark Seligman, Democratic Party candidate for House District 3 State Legislature. And congrats on winning the election last week in the primary. We'll talk to you, okay?
Thank you.
Be well.
All right. Bye-bye.
735 at KMED and KCMD.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Hey, Cody, we should start doing inspections on people's vehicles when they get an oil change so they know if they need anything else.
We already do that.
Let's vacuum the floorboards then.
We already do that too, boss.
We'll throw in a nice air freshener.
Yeah, that too.
So you're saying we do a free inspection, vacuum the floorboards, and throw in a free air freshener every time somebody gets their oil changed?
Yeah, boss. Every car, every time.
Well then, Cody, just keep up the good work.
Visit American Rentier Garage on Biddle Road, right across from Elmer's.
American Rentier Garage, we are United Through Service.
Are you ready to lock and load for the summer? Look no further than Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. This May, they are bringing you an explosive deal. Purchase any handgun and receive a box of ammo absolutely free. That's right, purchase any handgun in the month of May and receive a box of ammo absolutely free. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit Good Guys Guns today. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader. 4934 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
1063 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
All right, after an hour and a half of serious coffee pounding, I'm almost kind of awake now after Chester, my cat, woke us up at 2:30. Well, woke me up. Linda kept sleeping through it. God bless her. I'm sure she got up early. I'm sure she's a little bleary-eyed too, but boy, I just did not work that well. Let me go to Gino. Hey, Gino, what's going on in your world, huh? What
are you thinking? Good morning, Bill. Morning. Hey, thanks for the comedy you just played. I thought that was an episode of Babylon Bee when I first heard it.
Oh, you did? Talking with Mark, huh?
Yeah. I noticed that whenever he didn't have an answer, his energy came up. It's a typical authoritarian response to being defied, if you will.
Oh.
And when he said everybody has a right to, and then filled in the blank, only rights we have are the ones we can provide. The Supreme Court ruled that only a belligerent has rights, someone who stands up for their own rights. And a right is not something that you have to ask someone else for. You have it intrinsically, and you provide the means for yourself.
But rights have been redefined a lot lately by the electorate, in which I have a right to, let's say, health care, or I have a right to food, implying that someone must provide it, though, right?
Yeah, I have a right to your productivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Typical socialism, you know. I just want to make one more comment.
Sure.
Those of us who have read the biographical history of Karl Marx find him to be a completely reprehensible human being. The guy was so filthy, the interviewer had to go outside because it stunk so bad, had boils all over his body.
Yikes.
Some of his children committed suicide. He was such a racist that he used to call his son-in-law was a little darker skinned, and he called him Grigo. He called him, like, basically the N-word in his language. And he was so bad, one of his kids committed suicide. I mean, if you look at him as a human being, and then you say, follow this man. There's not a civil human being in the world that would say, sure, I'll follow that creep.
Yeah, if you could go back in history and strangle someone in the cradle, right? You know, that kind of thing. Gino, thanks for the call. Let me go to Holly. Hey, Holly, how are you?
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
So I was just listening to this whole subject on the low barrier shelter, and there are so many reasons not to have a low barrier shelter. And most of them he brought up. One is that we have a very poor county. So if you should get a low barrier shelter, the first thing that would happen is it would be full, immediately full. You have the cost of building the shelter or buying a shelter if you can find one, and then it would fill immediately. Everybody from everywhere would be sending them, and then they'd be saying, hey, we need a second low barrier shelter.
Well, I'll be curious to see what the Supreme Court says about this Grants Pass case, because Grants Pass has a shelter. But it does have rules that you're not going to be drunk and taking drugs while you're there. You know that,
right? I think what they need to do is maybe add because a lot of these guys have pets and whatnot. They can't bring them to the shelter, and that's their reasoning for not want to be there. No smoking is allowed. No, you know, mm-hmm. drinking is allowed. That
right.
sort of thing.
Right.
I think they over exaggerate the requirement for faith. I mean, I think what they do is expose people to faith. Because so many people have been saved through their faith. So they expose people to that, hoping that someone will find some inner meaning that allows them to live a different way.
Yeah, I have just tired, though, of the of the talk here, Holly, about Grants Pass doesn't have shelter. It has a shelter. It's just, according to the secularists, a wrong kind of shelter, and that's where I just disagree. But I would hold off a little bit until we see what the courts say on this one, okay? Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in, as always. Harmon is standing by. We'll delve into other things, political and beyond, all coming up.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
The IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The trial that has kept former President Trump tied up in a Manhattan courtroom for over a month is nearing an end. Closing arguments now underway today in New York City. Jury deliberations could start as early as this afternoon or perhaps tomorrow. Series of powerful storms across the central and southern U.S. over the holiday weekend left at least 23 people dead, also leaving behind a wide path of shattered homes, businesses, and numerous power outages. A deadly Gaza airstrike ramps up the pressure on Israel to hit the brakes on its war on Hamas terror. Boston advancing to the NBA Finals with a four-game 105-102 sweep of the Indiana Pacers. Watching Wall Street this morning, stocks have been mixed so far. The Dow is down 152 points, while the NASDAQ trading 59 points higher. More details, srnnews.com.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Through May, receive a $110 Visa prepaid card with the purchase of four Continental Extreme Contact Sport O2 tires. Extreme Contact Sport O2 is a dynamic summer ultra-high performance tire for passenger cars. Ideal for both street and track, and when you purchase using your Tire Pros or Continental credit card, you get another $90. That's up to a $200 total. Call or stop by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros for details.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from May 24th through June 3rd. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
744, Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bearchiger, former state ORP chair. How you doing, Herman? Welcome back, as always. What's on your mind today, huh?
Well, you know, we just spent 4 days at Boat Nick, and, you know, that's really positive. I mean, Saturday was a beautiful day. It wasn't too hot.
Nope.
Great lineup in the parade. Lots of participants. A lot of people. People
hungry to get out and do something non-political, I guess, right? Just go out there and have some fun.
Yeah, and, you know, the bridges were packed for the memorial service. The fireworks on Friday night and Sunday night were spectacular. You know, it was really just a really great weekend.
And did the active club make out okay? I remember back in the days during COVID time when things were tight, and gosh, it was just such a dark time here in Southwest Oregon, and Boat Nick wasn't looking all that great and such. So looking good?
Oh, yeah, looking real good. It was a great weekend, spectacular.
Good.
You know, and it's just so upbeat. You know, I mean, you and I deal in politics all the time. God, you go to bed at the end of the day and you know. But then you get to experience this, and it's the other side of the spectrum, you know.
Well, it's the reason why you end up going through the politics, too. And a lot of people wonder, gosh, why do we have to get involved in politics? Well, because there are always people willing to, under the guise of being a world improver, is I kind of put it in scary air quotes, Herman. You know, we're going to improve the world, usually, which means that they're about to put you on the menu and rape your property or your income or your liberty, one form or the other, right? And so, you know, politics is the only way you have your eternal vigilance to protect liberty to be at the table, I guess. And so you can't ignore it. And people who think they can't ignore it, you know,
you can't. And we've experienced it with the Active Club. I mean, for, you know, we've had people trying to shut the boat races down for years. They're too loud. They're too this. They're too that. They're too dangerous. They're this, that, blah, blah. You know, the park, you know, the Action Club shouldn't be able to have the park for a week. I mean, it's just always somebody out there wagging their finger. And, you know, if they, I set the reef yesterday, and I don't know, it's been 25 plus years that I've been doing it. And it just always amazes me out in the middle of that river. And you watch all those people on the bank, and both bridges are lined with people. And when it comes to a moment of silence, when they ring that big bell, it is silent. And to get that many people to shut up all at the same time is a miracle, in my opinion.
Well, I'm glad that that worked out really, really well. I was busy doing a lot of work around around my realm, you know, getting that that camper of mine back to the point where I could actually drive it on the road again. And so got it done. And so I wasn't able to pop up
good
there.
For you.
But I'm glad it ended up being a great boat, Nick, here. How do you, now, since you're going to be, you didn't run for re-election, and you're going to be outgoing commissioner at the end of the year, and you'll be replaced by someone else for next year. What do you think about, I'm going back with that talk with Mark Seligman, who's taking on Dwayne Junker as a Democrat in the fall for the state legislature. And an interesting question to ponder here is, what does the economic future of Southwest Oregon look like, in your opinion? What could actually work? I know Mark even brought up something which is interesting, and it's not the first person came up with it, though, about the you know, high-tech workers that are able to live in a beautiful area but bring their job here without actually having to industrialize the place. But they can't do it all. What's the talk, I guess, within the system about where we could be going over time? What do you think?
Well, we have no real industry in Southern Oregon, and we're a long ways from any port. I mean, you go south, it's going to be San Francisco.
Right.
You go north, it's going to be Portland. So for a big manufacturing, it's pretty tough to do here just because of transportation. And then when energy prices continue to rise, it makes your transportation costs more. We were pretty much natural resource based, but we all know that story. That's pretty well gone.
And by the way, have to be honest with ourselves that the natural resource side of things doesn't change unless you're able to get rid of your current senators, because the senators really end up controlling a lot of that, wouldn't you say? You know, ultimately.
Absolutely. When you have both your senators, you know, it'd be nice to add up the acreages that Wyden has locked up in Oregon since he has been senator. I think it'd be
both senators, and I don't say this to be a smear or anything like that, but ultimately they talk about preservation and locking up, but also making sure that I guess all the surrounding communities that are by all that locked up land are poor. Like, ultimately, that's what they're hoping. I don't think they intend that, but that's ultimately what they get.
Yeah. They're just playing to their bait, to their supporters. And, you know, the environmental machine, which is a machine to make money, a lot of people make money off of that. You know, you're up against that, and it's happened. Not just in timber, but look at the mineral withdrawals that they have. So, you know, Southern Oregon, Northern California have some of the most wealthiest mineral deposits in the United States, and they're all locked up now. You know, now that doesn't mean that Congress someday can't unlock them. You know, if we got in a big war or something like that and needed those minerals, you know, Congress can do whatever Congress wants. That's one thing Congress can do. But so back to your question. I think we're just going to be a microeconomy to a certain degree. Yeah, you're going to have some companies that you can work away from your home, but you know.
And we'll continue to probably have some light manufacturing that goes on, right? But as far as heavy industry, we're just not going to get it, you think, overall?
Well, the whole state's like that. You know, we don't have any real automotive production. We don't have any military bases. People say, well, Kingsley's a military. No, it's really National Guard. And it's, you know, so we don't have those great big industries. I mean, Microsoft is moving where, to Ohio? Or not Microsoft, Intel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's because I think we're like the third most taxed state now. I think it's New York, New Jersey, and Oregon. We're right in there. We're at the top of the heap. And what else is fascinating is Oregon's government has the most money per capita to spend. So they've really taxed us. And a lot of it happened while I was in the Senate, sadly to say. I watched it happen. I vote no for it. But the gross receipts tax is no more than a sales tax, except you don't see it at the cash register because it's taxed before you get to the cash register, so you don't even know it. And those are some things, you know, that I think Oregon's going to just kind of flounder around.
In other words, what it sounds to me, though, is that in spite of maybe some of our best efforts, it's kind of a muddled through economy is kind of.
Yeah, well, let's look at Portland. Rewind the clock 80 years ago, and Portland was the hub of manufacturing, shipbuilding, all kinds of industry there. Now go down and look at the docks and stroll around, or you can go get on Google Earth and look. Nothing is going on. It's nothing. The port is just struggling. And one reason is it is up the river, and so now they say, well, with the bigger ships, it's better just to go to Seattle, Tacoma, or to San Francisco. But just rewind the clock. That's what Portland grew. It was a hub for industry, steel, all kinds of things up there. And it's all gone. It's gone.
You
don't have to believe me. Just get on Google Maps and go look.
And you know, I don't think you can blame necessarily everything on the state government, the Oregon state government at this point. This was essentially a national giveaway, you know, back when in the late 70s, early 80s and beyond, when we decided that globalism was the way to go, right? In which we're not going to worry about building anything here. We're going to financialize everything and be the hub of it all. We'll export, actual manufacturing jobs, and we'll import, I guess, illegal immigrants to make us richer. I guess. I don't know, Herman. It seems pretty weird when you look back at everything that's gone on the last 30, 40 years.
Well, if you just go on the other side of the River of Columbia, you look at Washington is much more active than on the Oregon side. So, I mean, and Washington's not, you know, they don't have any income tax. That helps Washington. They got a sales tax. And sales tax probably is the most fairest.
Well, the thing about a sales tax, which I do like, though, is that everyone has skin in the game. Everyone has skin
right
in the game. No, not
right.
Just some.
And, you know, and rich people spend more, so they get taxed more, and lower income people spend less, so they get taxed less. So.
But what they will say about that, though, is that that a sales tax ends up being regressive because a poor person gets taxed on almost all of their income because it's not saved. It ends up being spent. Do you agree with that, that kind of term?
They pretty much do already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because look, we have the most progressive income tax. I think it starts at like $3,500 that you can be taxed.
Oh, and you get up to 10% in the state of Oregon pretty quickly. I know that.
Pretty quick. Well, 9.9.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the gross receipts tax, which is a sales tax. So we got both.
You know, it's interesting. I remember when I moved from Washington, I was living in Seattle or in Redmond, Washington, before I moved down to the Valley in 1991 and never looked back at that point. I didn't realize how different the taxing situation was from moving from Seattle down to Southern Oregon. I would have demanded more money to come down here because the income tax was such a huge bite, just unbelievable amounts of money that is contrasted, even though we had a sales tax in the state of Washington. But, you know, you talk about a sales tax in Oregon, though, Everybody figures that you'd end up having just a high income tax and a high sales tax. Would you agree? That's why no one's going to pass that. No one wants to go there.
Well, I would have considered voting for the gross receipts tax if it would have in the bill would have been a constitutional amendment abolishing income tax.
Mm.
See, I would have considered that.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you would have gotten more support on something like that. All right. Well, didn't mean to, get off on the taxing situation, but it's interesting because, like, we have people talking about where does Southwest Oregon go? You really do have to wonder. Now, in the state, in Medford, the push has been about tourism. And I'm just wondering, do you think tourism really ends up being the growth industry that everybody talks about? Because here in Medford, we like to build taxpayer-funded tourist attractions, and then we're supposed to crow about taxpayers paying for hotel motels to be able to get filled up. I don't know. Is that smart?
You're limited. Let's take Josephine County, and I've said it before. Why would a family of four in Michigan who's going to go on vacation for 2 weeks say, oh, we're going to Grants Pass, Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why. Why would they come at all the other places in the United States?
Well, to visit the caveman. Here we go.
Okay, there you go. Well, yeah, well, we do have the Oregon Caves, but they're not as big attraction as you think they are. The Rogue River is limited because they only allow so many permits per day to go down on the lower Rogue. And so that's tapped out. You can't increase there. So we have no big lakes. We have no ocean. And so, and I've said it in meetings, I get criticized, but somebody answer, why would a family of four in Michigan pick Josephine County to come and spend their vacation?
Because they could probably bring their Democratic politics and work for the Democratic Party in Josephine County. How about that? All right.
Well, you know, Jackson County is a little better. They have the Rogue River, they have Crater Lake National Park, and they also have lakes in the Cascade Mountains, so they're a little better off, but that's about, you know, so I guess we're limited in that. In other words, there's not really room for expansion. You know, there's no Disneyland here, there's no none of that, and so we are limited on the amount of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. You know, he can't change that. And we're a long ways away from anything.
Okay, well, if the county needs more money, shouldn't it just demand that the state pay it, like Mark Seligman had mentioned earlier?
That's not going to happen because as soon as you say, well, we need more money in Josephine County, Multnomah County says, well, we need 100 times more money because look how many people we have here compared to what they have in Josephine County. So that's how that all works, you know. And Mark hasn't figured out that to get anything done in the legislature, you got to find 16 people in the Senate, 31 in the House, and a governor to sign it. So that's a pretty monumental task to do.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I can say over the next few years in Southern Oregon politics, Southwest Oregon politics, is that it will be very interesting times. Very interesting times. All right?
Well, you know, we heard the marijuana industry is going to bring all this wealth to Josephine County. Well, it's the other way around. It's cost us more money for the enforcement and the crime and everything than what we receive from the state. So we went backwards on marijuana here. Now that's not saying that maybe some of the local stores and stuff have seen some profits of that marijuana industry. But from a county perspective, it's been a negative.
Yeah, I was always concerned about even the way they designed the growing and dispensary taxing is that it was always about benefiting the big urban areas with lots of dispensaries, with lots of stores. And that, it helped them out more. It was never really designed.
Yeah.
I think had it been designed to help the counties where, you know, the cartel problem actually was, it might have been a better help earlier on. But these are lessons learned in the past, all right? Well, I'll tell you what, Herman, take care of yourself. I always appreciate the talk and analysis, and we'll have you back on Tuesday next week, okay? You be well.
Sounds great, Bill. You take care.
Josephine County Commissioner Herman Berchig and I always kick around some politics and other issues of county concerns. And we'll continue that conversation. Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts is dropping by. We'll talk with her in about 10 minutes and kick things around about the jet boats on the Rogue and various other issues. And they're looking for comment. And boy, we got to get busy on that.
You don't need injection.